God actually has a vision for His people and His family. So we're going to continue a little bit with that today, but from a little different perspective. So, Father, we ask that by Your grace and by the power of Your Holy Spirit that You'd quicken this to our hearts. For, Father, as we're progressing, as we're moving from this place to where You're taking us, Lord, we need to go with the sure foundation that You alone are leading us. Lord, because unless You build the house, God, we labor in vain. So, Lord, we trust You to instill within our hearts Your vision for us as individuals, Your vision for us as a congregation, as a community, as a county. God, Your vision that we might grasp it, understand it, perceive it, carry it, talk about it, own it as our very own. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so we talked a little bit about God having a vision for us as His people and for us as His family. And that's a real part of what God's doing. But there's actually, how many of you can explain, anybody in here can explain the Trinity for us? Nobody wants to give that a shot, huh? We don't really understand the Trinity. We just know it is. We know that God exists in three persons as one. Tough to talk about. But the beauty about God's vision is that it incorporates all that He is. And the Spirit of God has a vision. And it's not separate from, but it's the same thing. There's a vision. What do you think that might be? Remember what I said before. It's legal to talk back. As long as you don't get fresh. You know? So don't be careful, Dick. Now I'm watching you. Okay, good. All right. Okay. That's part of what the vision is, but I want us to see what... There's actually a goal, and that's on the way to the goal. I want us to look at the goal, because then we're going to know how to get to the goal. We're going to talk about that later. Yes. It's to prepare us, but what is it? What is His vision? What's His part? You know, God wanted a family like the firstborn, remember? The Spirit of God wants something. Fellowship. Knowing our gifts. Okay, that's part of it. That's a little step down the road. Sure. Okay, that's part of it. This is not trick questions here, so, but part of what, Rudy? Oh, absolutely, God wants fellowship with us. Chuck, is that what you're going to say? He wants obedience. He wants a holy people. He wants all of this. But the way that He's going to achieve that, can anybody do any of that on their own? Fascinating. You mean you can't do it? Without what? The habitation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a vision, and that vision is for a people that become a habitation for Him. That's His vision. A people that become His habitation, that become that house that God is building. You read that in the Scriptures, right? Let's look in Ephesians. You don't need to turn there, but in Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 21, it talks about God's household and that Christ Jesus Himself is the cornerstone. It's God's household that where the Holy Spirit desires to dwell and to move in there. He wants a habitation where He lives, a place that's, somebody talked about it, where there's an obedient people, there's a holy people. He wants a people where He resides there. It's God's house. It's no longer built with stones. It's built with you and I. But it is God's house. God the Father, in a real sense, as the Father, desired a family of sons like the firstborn. Now, we read that scripture, remember? He desired a family, a people of His very own, that are like His Son. How is He going to achieve that? We can't do it. We just said that. He's going to achieve that. Isn't it this great? He didn't come down and say, look, Terry, I've got news for you. What we're going to do here is I want you to be like Jesus. And I'm going to come back in about 30 years and see how you did. Whoa! Wouldn't that be a scary thought? I mean, it's like, we're not going to cut this one, God. You know, can we talk about this real quick? You know, isn't that what you would say? But He said, Lord, help! Can we talk about this at all? But no, He didn't do that. Through His Spirit indwelling His people, His house, His habitation, His holy temple, this temple that's made out of you and me, He's going to accomplish His purposes. Isn't that fantastic? He can do what He's going to do because He's decided to do it and He's going to use you and I. One of the ways He's going to do it is that we become God's household. Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. And it goes on. It says, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Folks, I don't know how you look at yourself in the mirror sometimes, but I've looked in the mirror at myself a couple times, wasn't real excited about where I was. My spiritual mama, she's with Jesus now. She'd been walking with the Lord for probably 50, 60 years. And I remember her telling me, she says, you know, I just want to make it home. Now, this is a woman that, you know, if you would consider it a privilege to sit with her, I did, to sit with her and to listen to her and to hear her testimonies and of God's gracious goodness to her and how that. But she, in the end, looked at where she was and saw her heart and realized that if it wasn't for the grace of God, she wasn't going to make it. See, that's the way it is for all of us. But it doesn't depend on my ability. It doesn't depend on my great strength or my great wisdom. It depends on the fact that I yield to God's Holy Spirit who indwells me, who will build that holy temple of which you're a part and I'm a part. A holy temple that reflects the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. It's incredible, folks. When I was in South Africa, we went there on a missions trip. I was down there for a while. You know, the best reception we had was amongst the colored people. Now, colored in South Africa is anybody that's not black or white. So if you're whatever else you may be, you could be Chinese, but that's colored. But we went into that community, and there was about 600 people together meeting. And we met with a group of elders prior to that. Boy, the fellowship was incredible. The sweetness of the communion that we had as brothers. I mean, we'd never seen each other before. But there was something about this that we'd been built together into a dwelling place. We knew that God was resident right there. That God, by His Spirit, was amidst of those people. And that we felt at home. We felt like, hey, this is family. It was link arm time. You know? It was like, stand with one another. Don't back up. We're going forward. We got into the meeting and God moved mightily in worship and in power by the presentation of the Word. It was awesome. Why? Because God was building His house. It was one house. It wasn't their house and our house. It's not even our house and the one down the street here. It's God's house. And we're part of what He's building. And yielding ourselves in that area is what God's asking us to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for we are God's fellow workers. You're God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which has been given to me, like a wise master builder, I lay the foundation and another is building on it. And then he goes on to say that no man can lay any other foundation but Jesus Christ. And then he tells us that we need to be careful how we're building on the foundation. Can I say something here? As God's house, you may not know anything about construction, but you are a builder. I don't care how old you are or how old I am, but you're a builder. Now, Jesus Christ is the foundation. He's the chief cornerstone, and we are builders. Now, what are you building? I think we need to ask ourselves that question at times. What are we building that is in keeping with the house of God? I remember I was in one meeting and I was walking, I was ministering and I was walking down there and I saw a retired pastor. I don't know if that's, I think that's kind of like, what do they call that? That's kind of a misnomer. I don't think that could happen. Retired pastor. And I walked up to him and his wife, and God spoke to my heart, and he said, tell him something for me. And I said, okay, I could do that. And so I looked at him, and I told him exactly what the Lord told me. I said, who told you you could retire? His wife laughed. He went, like, what? I said, who told you you could retire? God didn't tell you to retire. Since that time, he's been ministering over in another area because God doesn't. It's God's house. For too long in the body of Christ, leaders have been looking for the retired time. You know, like that's a Western idea. That's a U.S. idea. It is. Everybody, if you're working now down here, up where what is it? GE down here, right? Procter & Gamble, GE, and all you work for the biggies and you do your deal, and when you're done, you retire and you get on the road and you go see the world, right? Who said you could retire? Huh? I'm sorry. I'm going to quit preaching and go to meddling here just a little bit. Who said you guys could retire? It's God's house. It's God's house. Man, I'm telling you, there's needs all over this world. I have a precious sister in the faith right now. She's in her 70s, traveling all over the world for Jesus. And she's not even a preacher. She just wants to get involved in what God's doing. That's all. She wants to be part of what God's building, part of God's house. How are you building? Are you building for this lifetime? Does the Bible say anything about that, by the way? Does it? Does it say about, what does it say about the guy that was, he said, well, I'm doing pretty good, you know. I think we'll build a few more barns. What do you think? Huh? A few more barns? Does the Bible say anything like that, maybe? And then what happened to him? He said, yeah. God said, hey, you're a fool. You're building for this life, and I'm requiring something of you now. Let's build and lay up in store over there. Let's build this temple. Let's build and be a part of what God's building in the earth, which is His habitation. A habitation that is part of the vision of the Holy Spirit of God. A habitation that includes you and me. Matter of fact, it's so strong that in James chapter 4, matter of fact, you may want to turn there. James chapter 4. Thank you, Chuck, for your prayers. I really do appreciate it. Verse 5. I don't know if you underline your Bible, but mine's got lines in it and notes in it and everything else. But understand this. It says, chapter 4, James chapter 4, verse 5. It says, or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us. There's an alternate rendering of that that reads this way, and I like it very much. It says, the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us jealously desires us. Oh, folks, that's incredibly exciting to me. It really is. God's Spirit jealously desires me. Because I told you that when I look at myself and I look at all that God has offered, I know who got the short end of that deal. It was God. He got me, and I got all that He has. And still, His Spirit jealously desires me. Jealously. With a holy jealousy, God desires you, Daryl. He says, I want that man. It's mine. I want him. I want to possess him. I want to own him. I want to build in him my temple. I want to build in him my desire. I want to build in him my plans. Isn't that neat? God is passionate about His kids. He jealously desires us. Jealously. I love it. I love that. I read that scripture and I came unglued when I first read it. I thought, wow, that's in the Bible. God loves me with a jealous love. A love that says, I want him, her, so bad. How bad was it? Well, he gave his only son to make me part of what he's building. And the Spirit desires a habitation jealously. I love it. Part of the Spirit's vision is that, and that's how, well, let me just move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Spirit desires to be able to give Himself expression. God the Father desired sons like the firstborn. How's that going to happen? Can we do it on our own? No. But by the habitation of the Holy Spirit living within us and the Spirit of God giving expression, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll just read verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And I'm not going to get into all the gifts right now. I'm just not going to do it. But you have all the gifts of the Spirit that the Spirit of God desires to give demonstration of, not only in the body, but outside. We need to be sensitive to that. With your neighbors. I was riding the school bus one time when I was, a long time ago, about 100 years, give or take a year or two. Sitting behind the driver, I was learning the route because I was going to be riding. I've done so many different kinds of jobs, it's ridiculous. One of them was I was a driver for the civil service on one of the bases in Florida. But I was learning the route, and I was sitting behind this driver, and God spoke to my heart. What is that? Is that a gift? Say yes. Yeah, it's a gift. Is that something I can drum up? No. Can you drum it up? No. But could God give it to you? Yeah. Sure. I was sitting there, and He said, talk to this person. And He gave me what to talk to them about. And I went, whoa. God wants to manifest. He wants to demonstrate through His Spirit in His body, this temple that He's building, this body that He's building. He wants to demonstrate who He is. What are other ways? Rudy told me of a way that God demonstrated His love through Rudy. He prayed for a brother that needed some prayer. Isn't that right? God demonstrated His love through you. A demonstration in Rudy. God wants to demonstrate His love, His grace, His patience. Whoop! Wrong church, I'm sorry. Everybody here is patient. I know that. Yeah. Is there one here that's not patient all the time? We need Dick Olney here to say once. Right? He needs to say once, yeah. Yeah, but we have those opportunities when God demonstrates through His Spirit His love and His grace through us. And that's His desire as He's building this temple. staying in 1 Corinthians 12, when we move on down, chapter 12, verse 12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. I love it. The Holy Spirit desired a habitation, which is a temple, which is a body of people. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's fantastic. God desired to live in a body of people. Father, bless our sister as she goes. Got to go to work. Strengthen her for the day. So in expressing Himself in the body. Now let me tell you something about the body of Christ. You're never going to see all the power manifested. How many would like to see the power? Like to see God really move in power. I would, yeah. It's like, it's time again. You know, there's been some serious times in the past. My boys look at me and say, Dad, we're ready. You know, it's like, they're ready for the power. And I'd like to see that. We're not going to see it until we learn again what it's like to be the body. Because you see, those gifts, those manifestations come out of a people. Out of a people that love one another, that esteem the lowliest member no differently than the highest, so to speak, that have equal care for one another. Isn't that neat? Is it easy? No. Listen, hang around me long enough, you're going to find out that I'm not real easy to love. You know, it takes work. But I got news for you, neither are you. So it takes work, you know. But that's God. God puts people together. God puts the body together as He sees fit. God links people together. Have God ever put you with somebody that you thought, never? And all of a sudden, they're like your best friend. He did that to me. And I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about a brother up in Wisconsin. Don't even ask. You know, he's just not my kind of guy. You know, and you know what? We're great friends. God did it. God joined. God put together. My wife and I. God joined. God put together. She's as different as I from me as night and day, you know. Now, she's not here, so I can tell this on her. My wife, if you tell her I said this. No, my wife squeezes the toothpaste tube. Now, remember, don't tell her. In the middle. In the middle! Have you ever heard of anything so absurd? I'm an end squeezer, boy. I get it all down there, you know? Yeah. I don't waste any of it. But every time I go to that tube, I've got to start at the back and work my way down. Because it's either in the middle or right up front. You know, it's like there's nothing there. I mean, you could look at it. It'd be hollow, you know. Right? It's like, what is this different? But God joined. God knit. God put together. God caused to love. God did. God builds His body like that. And we're not all as pretty as Rudy. It's just not. But God builds His body. And it functions to the glory of God. Folks, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God has a vision. And that's a body of people that allow Him to have full sway. Not just a person somewhere. It's not just a leadership or a group of leaders. It's a body of people that allow the dynamics of the Holy Spirit to move through them in a way that ministers the grace and the love and the power and the glory of God. That's what it's all about. That's the vision of the Holy Spirit. And that's how, coming back to some of the answers that we've had, that He will equip this body and cause this body to accomplish His purposes. That's how God will do it. That's how we'll walk in holiness. That's how we'll walk in obedience. That's how we'll walk in wholeness and fullness. That's how we'll walk that way, is by the infilling and the indwelling and the yielding of our lives to Him, to the Holy Spirit of God. There's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 1. Another scripture you may want to turn to. This is so incredibly important when we're talking about the body of Christ and what that actually means. I'm going to have to grab myself a cough drop here. Excuse me. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church. This is what I want you to hear. We all know that it says which is His body, but I want you to see this next. Maybe you've not seen this before. Which is His body, the fullness of Him. Fullness of Him who fills all in all. The body of Christ is to be the fullness. The fullness. The fullest measure. The complete essence. The fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. That's wonderful. That's good news. In Ephesians, going on in Ephesians chapter 4, these are verses that everybody quotes to talk about the ministries, but it says in verse 13, it says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Folks, the Holy Spirit is in us working towards an end. That we become a people that stand in the full measure of who Jesus is. In the full measure of the mature man. In the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And there's a reason for that. It's because Jesus has a vision. God the Father has a vision for a people, His very own, sons, a family like the firstborn. The Spirit of God has a vision for a habitation where He will dwell and demonstrate and give an expression of the character and the glory and the fullness of all that God is. And that has a purpose. Because Jesus has a vision. What do you think that vision might be? If you don't know, that's fine. But it's pretty simple. We talk about it all the time. Jesus has a vision for His bride. Jesus Christ, indwelling us by His Spirit, working within us to produce by the mature man, the fullness of Him, one that is like the firstborn, many who are like the firstborn. You see, Jesus is not going to marry one that's different than Himself. Do you understand that? People don't marry apes. They marry people. Jesus has come after His bride.
I love this. I really do. Jesus has come after His bride. And she's going to be just like Him. Isn't that glorious? She's going to be like Him. She's going to be like Him in character. She's going to be like Him because He's actively at work in her to produce His image. Aren't we being changed from glory to glory into the image of Christ? Is that Bible somewhere? Does that sound like Bible to you? Yeah. He's working in us because He has a vision. And you're part of that vision if you know Jesus. He's making you into this person that He will embrace at the end of the age. That's one of the reasons why I like, there's a scripture in Matthew 26. You don't have to turn there. But He was getting ready to, the Passover meal was there. And He says, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." He's talking about a time when He's going to drink of the cup with His bride. He's looking towards His death here. But His eyes are already looking down the road for when He's going to be together with the one whom He loves, the one whom He's given His life for, the one whom He's going to indwell and bring forth His character and His goodness and His mercy and His patience and His love and kindness through. And He's looking towards that and He says, "You know, tell you what, I'm not going to drink of this cup again until I drink it in my Father's house with you." That is so cool. That is so cool. God's vision. The Spirit's vision. The Son's vision. The vision of Jesus Christ. They're all one. And they're all us. It's incredible, folks. It's incredible. And it's you and me. I mean, look at me. Can you imagine? God going, "I love that guy." There was a time in my life when I couldn't. Couldn't imagine it. Love me? Yeah, right. You know. Nobody's ever loved me. Are you kidding me? But no. He does. And I'm part of this beautiful person. Matter of fact, when you read of the description of the bride in Revelation, we're not going to turn there, but you'll see some of the same stones that describe Christ. The jasper, the crystal gold. Isn't it neat? Why? Because He's done the work. What you are going to become and what I am going to become is a work of His handiwork. It's going to be something that He's fashioned. Isn't that what it says in Ephesians? Just as Christ also, well, husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her, so that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. And in Revelation 21, it says this, verse 2, it says, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." God has a vision. God has a vision for you as an individual. God has a vision for you as a family. God has a vision for this congregation. God has a vision for this city. God has a vision for this county. God has a vision for this state. And it all is wrapped up in His vision. And that's what we're to pursue. We're to pursue God's vision in our life. We're to pursue yielding ourselves that He can have full sway within us. Have you ever had God deal with you in an area and you're kind of like, don't go there? That's what you wanted to tell God. Don't go there, God. You know, I was doing fine. Don't go there. Once. We all have. But why does He want to go there? Because He's making His bride. He's making a habitation for His Spirit. He's making one that is like Himself. When I tell you that I have seen afar off a vision of the body of a body of Christ arising, and that the body of Christ will arise with the character and the glory and the power of the Lord Jesus, then understand that that's God's vision. A people that know Him. A people that are called by Him. A people that are sealed by His Spirit unto Himself. God has a vision. My question then to us is that, are we willing to embrace God's vision? I want it. I want it. I want all that God has for me. That can be a trite statement, but I mean it. Because I even mean it, and I say this a little bit painfully, even when it costs. You know, I'm a coward when it comes to pain. You know, I really am. All you mamas, you know, you can deal with pain, I guess. But, you know, when it comes to pain, I'm really not into pain. But I want whatever God wants for me, regardless. That's what I want. I want that in my life. Because I want to be a son like the Son. And I want to be a habitation for the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to take my place in the body of Christ, fulfilling my function in love, 1 Corinthians 13, so that I can be a part of that bride He's coming for and He just can't wait to get with. Isn't that neat? That's neat. Isn't that neat? Let's stand. Thank you for putting up with my crackly voice. Father, cause our vision to be Your vision. Cause our hearts to be so knit with Your heart and Your desire that we might be on track for where You're going, what You're doing in our own individual lives, in our families, and in this area. Go before us, Lord, and draw us after Yourself. And where we find ourselves weak, Lord, make Yourself strong there. Help us, Lord, when we fall. Forgive us, Father, when we sin. But Lord, most of all, build Your house. Build Your people. Raise up Your bride in the name of Christ. Amen.